Penny. Good day, church family. Thank you, sir. Yep, please, if you could have your Bibles open at chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, starting at verse 3, and we'll also look at the Hebrews passage as well. You've got your outline, you can jot down notes if that helps. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word and we thank you for it read, and we pray that it would affect our hearts and minds, and please teach us what we need to learn from this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a story of a 20-year-old man who consulted a clairvoyant. Clairvoyant is a person who claims to have supernatural ability to perceive events in the future. So the clairvoyant told the 20-year-old man that he would die at the age of 35. So the man lived his life accordingly, and he made decisions based on that prediction. He chose not to marry his childhood sweetheart, and not to have children, and not to have a serious relationship, because he knew he was going to die young. When he turned 35, guess what? He didn't die. So what a waste. What a waste. Now, if these clairvoyants are so sure of the future, then they know who's going to win the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and they could be very rich. Now, they work on guesswork and assumptions and percentages. So here's an example. They might tell a young woman here in Australia she will meet a tall, handsome man from the north. Well, generally, men are taller than women, and anyone coming to Australia must be coming from the north, because the only thing south of us is penguins. Sorry. And so as soon as that girl meets someone from overseas, they go, that's it, he's the one, he's a tall, handsome guy from the north. Does God want us to be consulting psychics who claim to know things that are hidden from most other people, or to consult mediums? That's someone who claims to communicate between the living and the dead. Or to consult clairvoyants or fortune tellers who claim to predict a person's future by reading their palms, or gazing into a crystal ball, or examining their tea leaves. Or to consult spiritists who claim to communicate with dead spirits. Or to consult horoscopes, which forecast a person's life based on the position of the stars and planets at the time the person was born. Is it God speaking through these people? A lot of people shaking their heads, right? Well, we just sang a song, didn't we? The Bible's got the answer. Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled, which means made impure, by them. I am the Lord your God. So why is God against mediums and psychics and so on? Firstly, because it makes us impure, which is the opposite of being holy like God. And secondly, because it leads people to trust in mediums and psychics and so on, rather than trusting in God alone. As God says, I am the Lord your God. So I'm having trouble with my computer this morning. It's been a morning of that. go back to the old-fashioned way, hey? So we're going to look at the Bible passage now, and we're going to look at two things. First, how God speaks and doesn't speak in the Old Testament, and that's in the Samuel passage. And then secondly, how God speaks to us today. So first then, how God speaks and doesn't speak in the Old Testament. And that's starting from verse 3. And we're reminded that the prophet Samuel has died. And this is the second time that Samuel's death's been mentioned. It was mentioned back in chapter 25, and that's because the death of the prophet Samuel has left a huge void. We haven't got that great prophet speaking God's word to Saul. And we're also told that Saul had previously expelled all mediums and spiritists from the land. And that was the right thing to do. Here's what God said to Moses in Leviticus 20, verse 6. I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them. I will cut them off from their people. So God doesn't want them to consult these type of people. And then in verse 4, the Philistines and the Israelites are about to have a war. And Saul's afraid of this huge Philistine army. And it says in verse 5, terror filled his heart. So, verse 6, Saul inquires of the Lord. Now, the normal means of God speaking to his people in the Old Testament are not working for Saul. God is not speaking through dreams and visions like he did with Joseph and Daniel and people like that. And he's not speaking through these Urim and Thummim, those precious stones that were in the priest ephod. Because remember, Saul killed all the priests just about, except for Abiathar. And he's got the ephod and he's with David. And he's not speaking through the prophets like Samuel. Why isn't God answering Saul? Well, because Saul hadn't previously obeyed God. And so God is not going to give any further instruction because he didn't listen when he gave it. And Saul has never properly repented. He knows he shouldn't be going after David and killing him, trying to kill him. But Saul has made killing David an obsession. Saul wants God on Saul's terms, not God's terms. Saul just wants God as like a genie in a bottle that he can call up when he needs him. And he's a picture of what James says in James 4, verse 2 and 3. Here's what James says. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. That's Saul. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. That's Saul. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. So it's a bit like us treating someone badly all the time and then expecting them to do us a favour. Yes, God shows grace and mercy all the time. However, it's been made clear, he's given Saul clear instructions that Saul hasn't followed. What more instruction can he give him? There's nothing else to say. And so sometimes, as is the case here with Saul, God's answer is silence. That's still an answer. Perhaps sometimes we might be guilty of the same thing as Saul. We don't follow God's commands, but we still expect God's favour. Or perhaps we haven't fully repented from a sin in our lives, so God is silent. Because the Lord did not answer Saul in the normal ways that he would speak in the Old Testament, Saul looks for an answer through other means. He's so desperate, in verse 7, he orders one of his servants to find a medium. But hasn't Saul just expelled all the mediums out of the land? It gives us a bit of an idea of his state of mind, doesn't it? And he's acting like a hypocrite. He rightly got rid of them all out of the land, and now he wants to go and consult one. Now remember, mediums claim to call up dead people. The modern day term for this is channeling, making a channel between the living and the dead. What's so wrong with channeling or calling up the dead? Apart from the fact that it's told us not to in the Bible. Well, in Luke 16, there's a great passage that gives us two places where dead people go, either heaven or hell. And Luke 16:24 says there's a great chasm set in place between the two, so no one can go from heaven to hell or hell to heaven. So there's no spirits of dead people roaming around waiting to be called up by mediums. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. As Christians, we ought to seek God's answers only to our questions. Praying to or channeling any other being is idolatry. Praying to or consulting dead people, including the apostles, the saints, Mary, and so forth, is not really much different from having a seance and asking your dead relative to come and help. Most so-called mediums are actually frauds who use memory tricks, or they plant an accomplice somewhere, or they use special effects to fool people. And those that are not frauds are actually cooperating with dangerous, demonic, spiritual beings from Satan. Satan's spirits are skillful at appearing as helpful spirits. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, which makes it easy for Satan to confuse people and corrupt people who open themselves up to this channeling of dead people. Nevertheless, Saul goes against God's word and even his own instructions, and he disguises himself and goes and consults a medium in Endor. Now, the medium is suspicious in verse 9, because she knows Saul's banned all these mediums from the land. But they're still operating in secret, just like lots of things today are illegal, but they're still, you can still find ways of getting around it. And even though the Lord is not with Saul, he swears by the Lord in verse 10. How hypocritical is that? He swears to the medium she won't be harmed by the Lord. He's got no authority to say that. Saul wants to talk to a dead man, and that's Samuel. So the medium calls up Samuel, verse 12. Is it really Samuel? Anyone discuss that in Bible study? Yeah? There's been lots and lots of debate on this as to whether it really is Samuel or not. It could be a fraud. The medium would recognize Saul. Remember, he was head and shoulders above everyone else. Pretty obvious to recognize him. She would know what a prophet like Samuel would dress like. She may even have been told by someone else that God is not with Saul. Or it could be the work of Satan and his demons, who give the woman the details she needs. I'm not going to hang my hat on this, but I reckon it is Samuel, and that God allowed Samuel to appear much the same way as he allowed Elijah and Moses to appear at the transfiguration of Jesus. And I'll give you two reasons why I think this. As I say, I'm not going to hang my hat on it, But first reason is God allowed it to teach the medium a lesson. See in verse 12, she cried out at the top of her voice. She was expecting a familiar spirit, but she got more than she bargained for. She got Samuel and the revelation that it was King Saul in disguise talking to her. And second, God allowed it to confirm Saul's fate. See what Samuel says in verse 17 and 18. The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord and carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. That's pretty much what happened, wasn't it? God allowed Samuel to be called up. But that doesn't mean it was right for Saul to consult a medium. And it's not right for us to ever consult a medium either. We are opening ourselves up to dark, demonic, spiritual world that can bring us much harm and no good whatsoever. And we're putting our trust in them and not in God. Samuel also predicts Saul's death, which happens in a couple of weeks' time, in a couple of chapters ahead. And this causes great distress for Saul, and he's full of fear, and his strength is gone, and he can't eat. And the medium, well, she shows some compassion, and she gives him some food. Saul eats his last supper. What a contrast to the Last Supper of Jesus. Jesus faced his death always doing the will of the Father. Saul faces his death, his Last Supper, having failed to do the will of the Lord. Which brings us to our second point, how God speaks to us today. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews passage, get there myself. Hebrews 1, from verse 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. You see, in the past, in the Old Testament, the prophets were preparing people for Jesus' coming. They were like a signpost saying, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, get ready, Jesus is coming. But in these last days, the days between Jesus' first coming and his return, and we're in those last days now, in these last days, the writer of Hebrews is saying we have Jesus. Now that Jesus has come, God has fully revealed his plan to save humankind from their sin. And it revolves fully around Jesus, his birth, his coming, his dying on the cross for our sins, his rising to life, fixing our sins, and offering us eternal life. He's able to do that because, as the rest of Hebrews 1 says, Jesus is the heir of all things, creator of all things, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God. Therefore, he is God, he is perfect, and he's sinless. Jesus is not dead, he's alive, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he intercedes or talks up for us. Now you might say, that's great, but I can't see Jesus. How do I know he's speaking to me? Well, as Charles pointed out to the children, remember, Jesus is described as the Word of God in John 1 verse 1. And he was there at the creation. His word created everything. But later on in John 1:14, it says the word, Jesus, became flesh. Jesus became like a walking, talking Bible. So the way God speaks is through his word. That's how he speaks to us today. And that word is also Jesus. Now the Apostle Paul describes God's word like this in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God breathed. So it's breathed out by God. It's not human beings' word, it's God's word, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as we read God's word, what this is saying is it teaches us right and wrong. It teaches us how we can be forgiven and how we can receive eternal life. It rebukes us, which means it tells us off when we do the wrong thing, wrong behavior. It corrects us when we're going our way and not God's way. It trains us to be right with God and to grow more like Jesus. And it equips us to be servants of God and do good stuff for God. Not only do we have God's word, Jesus, but Jesus promised he would send the Holy Spirit, which lives inside each Christian. And Jesus describes the Holy Spirit this way: the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of what I have said to you. So as we read God's word, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit continues to teach us and reminds us of what Jesus taught. Therefore, the best thing we can do is to let Jesus speak to us through his word, the scriptures, and through the Holy Spirit, and not get involved in mediums, spiritists, clairvoyants, tea leaves, fortune tellers, horoscopes, witches, mediums, said that already, Ouija boards, or watching movies with demons and exorcists in there. We shouldn't be getting involved in these things, or letting our children get into this stuff either. Anyone remember what last Thursday was? Halloween. Now, I was sick most of this week, so I didn't get to my usual scripture class on Thursday. But one of my scripture teacher friends called me and said, at the school he was teaching at, all the teachers were dressed as witches. What are we teaching our children? And why are we perpetuating this nonsense? Not to mention how dangerous it is. Remember, Satan is the master of trickery. He tricks us into thinking, well, trick or treat, we're just giving kids lollies. It's okay. But is it really the best thing for us to be teaching our young children to dress up as witches or devils with horns, or going around as zombies and dead people, roaming the streets asking for lollies? Is that the seed we want to sow in young people? When we should be sharing the love of God through Jesus and teaching his grace and love and mercy that's in his Bible. Tell them some Bible stories. As Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So to finish up then, I encourage you, please stick with Jesus only. He's alive, he's sinless, he's perfect and good in every way. And don't get involved in this evil stuff or dangerous stuff masquerading as fun. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God to protect us from this stuff. So I'm going to finish with this great passage from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, he says, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, help us to take on board how important it is to stick with Jesus alone. Help us to every day be conscious about putting on your armor to protect us from this dark world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to finish with our final here.